What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 117 of Smack Talk from SmackOutMoment.com. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, and with me on the mic this evening, we have Mike Payton.
This isn't Friday night.
No, it isn't.
No.
I think we're going to follow that up with something.
No, I got nothing.
And we also have Steven Wago.
I'm afraid I've got some depressing news for you.
What, Payton's joke that he just made a second ago?
Yeah.
Tonight on the show, we're going to be doing a special top rope list of our favorite Royal Rumble winners, and we're also going to do the hot tags and all the other stuff that we normally do. But before we do all that, what comes first? You know, the Ask Him. And the question for last week to the panel was, what is the average most eliminations in a Royal Rumble usually? And the answer was 7. The question to you, the audience, was who has eliminated the most amount of people the most amount of times at the Royal Rumble? Answer was Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's been the Roman Reigns 4 separate times in 97, 98, 99, and 2002, where The Undertaker had the same amount. Who got it right? A lot of people. Johnny Castaway, Rosa Show, Thomas Sander, Moro Supremo, I Curry, Awesome Piano Man, and Jamie O'Halloran. Great job, guys. That's going to move us on to this week's question, which is going to be manned by Stephen Wago, so you can all breathe a sigh of relief that my Ask-Hims are over with. Wago, what's the Ask-Him for this week?
Well, the first one's to stump the you guys, right?
Yep.
All right. WWE announced as of November 1st, 2007, all wellness policy violations would be made public. As of that date, which year has resulted in the most wellness policy violations?
2008.
Yeah, I would say it was the first year of it.
Yep, 2008. It had Derek Lincoln. I have no idea who the fuck that is.
Derek Lincoln?
Yeah, January 6th. Chet the Jet. Jeff Hardy, Manu, William Regal, Jimmy Wang Yang, Dolph Ziggler, and Umanga.
What about Harry Smith?
That was in 2007 in November.
Oh, that was that quick. Okay.
Like
a week afterward, wasn't it?
The year that came in second place was 2011, which had like a whole bunch of weird people like Heath Slater and Sin Cara.
Wasn't that the year of the that one pharmacy scandal?
It might have been, but it was like weird people got tripped up in that year, like Mike Chioda, Darren Young, Evan Bourne, pothead, so. the question which I've got for you, the listeners, is which wrestler is currently on the roster who has had the most suspensions?
I'm not quite sure where that one's going to end up being. I have a guess, but of course I won't say it until after we're done recording this section. But if you have a guess, go ahead and leave your comments below or send a tweet at SmartGoutMoment, and then the next episode we'll tell you who got it right and who got it wrong. We're going to roll along here with the part two. You know what that means? It's time for the hot tags. Welcome back, everybody. Part two, which means it's the hot tags. We have 5 different things to talk about this week. A lot of speculation stuff, and I don't really know if there's much to any of them, but what the hell, we'll talk about them anyway. Big thing that, if it does happen, it will be really important to WWE, but, I mean, I'm jumping ahead here. I don't think that there's any fucking truth to this whatsoever. There's a rumor going around that Sting is going to be brought on board as the new Raw General Manager. And that's going to be his primary focal point until maybe the next WrestleMania. Then maybe we'll see that Undertaker match, but that he won't wrestle any match for this year's WrestleMania, or pretty much any match, period, for the next year. Just do a bunch of DVDs and be the Raw GM. I don't buy this whatsoever. What do you guys think about this, Payton?
I think Sting being a Raw General Manager is about preposterous as MVP being a person of predominant power for a company.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think MVP makes more sense.
He does. At least MVP's got the whole I'm the highest paid athlete in SmackDown history, and I have money.
So is Sting just going to like shout orders with his makeup on?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it'll be like a game. Like he'll keep doing that Joker thing that he was doing in TNA, and everything will be like plotted out, and it'll turn out that like by the end of the movie, there's, you know, the Raw roster and the SmackDown roster on two different boats, and it's some kind of a new gimmick match that they're building up to or something. I don't know.
This sounds like a terrible idea, and this also sounds like scoop, 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 scuttlebutt. If they bring Sting in, that's their main plan of what to do with him for his first year. If they don't want to have him wrestle for a little while, I'm okay with that. If they want to hold off a year, they just want to work out some deals, get him into the video games, get some DVDs out there, all that, that's well and good. Then surprise people later on with him coming in for some kind of match. But a general manager, that just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit his character. You know, it's like, say, let's have, Kofi Kingston be Raw general manager.
And wasn't he some kind of like a general manager or something like that on TNA not that long ago? He was like their commissioner.
I think he owned the company for a period of time.
And that didn't work out as far as I can remember. So especially when it comes to WWE, like, who would ever, you know, if we're supposed to just buy into this as being legitimate and all real and stuff, who would be like, yeah, there's this guy who's been in developmental and he just got the job, but he's been working a job for a couple months, and we've got all these other people that have been on the roster for years and decades, and these old guys who are in the back and they're producers and all that. But if we want to put somebody in charge, we're going to put that WCW guy in here who's never been in WWE whatsoever. That would never make any sense.
You suggest that WWE does things that make sense, though, so...
Right. I don't know. So we're all in agreement here. This is total BS.
Go nope yourself.
Another rumor of some kind of a Raw host is Mick Foley has said that WWE approached him to do a Raw wrap-up show. Now, I don't know if that's really necessarily to do the Raw post-show, but hey, if he wants to do our Raw post-show, then he's more than welcome to, right?
You got his number still, right?
Yeah, I should, unless he changed it. So give him a call. Yo, you want to do the Raw post show? He'll be like, I don't know. I told WWE maybe, so.
No, I don't think he watches Raw ever since he puts him up for his TV.
Maybe. I don't know if this is the same thing, though. This maybe is a different type of show. Maybe it's they're going to do like a Raw post show with, you know, Scott Stanford and Renee Young or something like that, and then do a wrap-up show where you get like the Legends comment on stuff or anything like that. Or maybe this is a Raw post show, or maybe it's something completely different. I have no idea, but Mick Foley hosting a show, you know, good as far as I'm concerned. I probably won't watch it because there's no point in rewatching a show that just happened and then keeping like a kayfabe kind of thing going on. But hey, if it's just his opinions about it, all the better. I think it's cool. Peyton?
Yeah, I think this could be a cool little thing. Rather than an actual post show like we do on Mega Powers Radio, he could do something later on in the week where the cameras just get on him. I think it would be especially cool if it just comes to him in like a den where he's sitting in a chair and he just talks about everything that happened on Raw that week.
Mega, what do you think?
Yeah, I suppose it could be good. I mean, Mick Foley's a fun personality. If I was going to do a Raw post-show, like a wrap-up show, I'd get that black guy from Family Guy, the one that go saying you'd like, so what did you think of Raw? It sucked!
Ollie Williams?
Yeah. I think that's a better idea than Mick Foley.
Well, if they do something other than the post-show, I think what they should do is they should have it maybe like Saturday, Sunday night, something like that, where he can kind of like do it as, not necessarily a lead-in, because they were saying that they were going to do a pre-show too, but maybe some kind of like a recap at the end of the week for people instead of just, you know, Monday night, they've got him on the post show and then a wrap up show or something like that. You can't have multiple shows.
Yeah, it's going to be oversaturated. And besides that, we get a Raw recap during Raw, the amount of fucking replays they put on.
Yeah. So, hell, maybe they'll tone those down.
I can hope so.
You can only fucking hope. And then stop doing them on SmackDown, and then probably stop doing SmackDown, period. Because if it's not just recap stuff of Raw, then what is SmackDown?
We need more Del Rio anti-bullying campaigns.
Speaking of Del Rio, another hot tag. There are rumors that not only is CM Punk gone completely from the company, but that Alberto Del Rio is basically on his way out, and that he might just be flat-out retiring, not taking time off or going to another company. He just might be done with wrestling, period. The Scoops and everything is reporting that he has enough money. He doesn't really care that much anymore. He doesn't think that he'll be going that far anymore because he's already been, you know, thrust into the world title picture for the last, what feels like 20 years. And now that they've only got that one title, it's going to be a lot harder. And he, so far, he's taken a step down. Now he's being fed to Batista. He's pretty much called for an Intercontinental title at the most, I would think. So I guess he just sees the writing on the wall, and he's old enough now where he just doesn't want to do it anymore. And if that happens and he doesn't re-sign when his contract is up, which I forget when it said that it was supposed to be coming up. I think it's over the next couple months or so, probably like June or something. If he doesn't re-sign, then that's another person that WWE doesn't have for that main event spot, which, although he's not the same caliber as CM Punk, it still kind of hurts him. Peyton?
Yeah, it's always a shame when someone who they really rely on to go out there and play a key role in whatever the constant story of events is has to go. Alberto Del Rio, I think, still is fairly young, where he still has lots of years that he could have left to give. And it's kind of shame that if this is true and he feels just because he's not going to be that top role spot anymore, it's time for him just to go. He still has a lot that he could give to the business. The guy does have some knowledge in him. And if he wanted to stick around as someone that helps some of the younger guys coming up, I think he would be one of those perfect guys to go out there and give them a reliable, safe match every single week. I'm not going to miss him, though. If we're just going to speak frankly about it.
Oh, no, me neither.
Yeah, me personally, I'm not going to miss him too much.
No, I mean,
Ricardo. I mean, I guess they've been apart for a while now, but
he's on he's on the Spanish commentary table now.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna do that forever.
Yep.
Maybe. He might have some other kind of a role backstage too. He said something about like being a trainer or something. I don't know if that's like actually like being a trainer, like he's gonna go down to the performance center and do that or anything, but maybe he is just like kind of bopping back and forth between different spots because they really like him, and they're like, well, we'll figure out some place for you and not Matt Stryker you.
He's a trainer, fat little fuck.
Del Rio has a point, though. I mean, he's pretty much done all there is to do. He's won the Royal Rumble. He's won the World Heavyweight and the WWE title multiple times. He was a key feature on the SmackDown brand for the last dying days of the brand split. He's done all he really needs to do. And if he doesn't want to stick around just to be another character in the story going through the next couple of years, then fine. Go. Bye.
Peyton, Wego, what do you think? You going to miss Del Rio, or are you the same apathetic, who cares?
I don't give a fuck. And this does not hurt WWE whatsoever. That guy's probably costing them more than he's ever fucking drawn. The only place that he can do well is when they visit Mexico, and that's to draw a decent gate when they go down there. But other than that, all year round, the guy probably costs them more than he ever made. So it doesn't hurt WWE, and it only benefits me as a viewer to see him go. He's boring. He's abysmal. I cannot stand him. Thank fuck if he's retiring. Please go away. Don't look back. Don't think, oh, but maybe I should have done this. No, just go. No one wants you.
You know what's going to happen now, because we want him to leave. He's going to resign.
He'll be the WWE champion.
He'll win the Royal Rumble as the WWE champion and fight himself at WrestleMania next year.
Probably.
WrestleMania 31, Alberto Del Rio as a babyface against Alberto Del Rio as a heel. God. They would do that, too. That would be something fucking stupid that they would do, because they love him so much.
Fucking, I don't know what was worse, him as a heel or him as a good guy. I mean, both face and heel Del Rio were fucking abysmal.
I don't know.
It's the same character, except you detest him more as a face.
I think he's probably better as a heel. I mean, we did a heel or face segment about Del Rio before, but at the same time, I don't really like him as a heel either. That's just because I don't really like Del Rio.
Fuck
that. Two other hot tags that we have here. Naomi and John Cena suffered eye injuries this week. Naomi's doesn't seem like it's that bad. John Cena's, they're kind of keeping it a little bit wrapped up, but I'm assuming that it's not really that horrible or anything like that, because then we would have heard a lot, you know, more about it. But the one thing about Naomi's, or Naoma's, as we were calling her in the Raw post show, the report had said that it was like decent enough that she needed Tylenol, and that was about it. So it's like, oh my God, this huge report of Naomi suffers a giant eye injury and takes some Motrin and goes home and sleeps it off. I don't know about John Cena, though, so who knows if it's going to play any factor, but I doubt it. But hey, you know, injuries are one of those things that people like hearing about. So Might as well talk about it. Peyton?
I think this is all a work because right now John Cena can't see me. That's all I got. What do you want me to say about this? They got eye injuries. That sucks. I'm sure they'll heal. Good for them.
Wake up.
It's not ballet.
Shows how serious we think that these are.
Yeah, I couldn't give a fuck. I'm glad she found some Tylenol to take care of herself.
One injury that seems a lot worse, though, is Kurt Angle was spotted in a wheelchair. Somebody took a picture of it and posted it on Twitter.
Oh, what a pussy. Just give him some Tylenol.
There hasn't been too much leaked about this, whether he got some kind of surgery or if he is just really that banged up. But that's the main thing I've been hearing is that he's just that messed up that he needed a wheelchair to go from one place to another. And if that's the case, don't fucking wrestle.
Wasn't he in a wheelchair when he was general manager of SmackDown? Maybe he's redoing that in Impact.
Maybe he's going to be the Raw general manager and he's going to be dressed up as Sting.
Maybe Sting will just push Kurt Angle around for him. That's going to be his new role. That's what they bring him in for.
Kane will do it. He'll push him off like Zack Ryder.
Oh, fucking pay to see that. That was funny as shit.
Well, Wago, what do you think about Kurt Angle's thing?
I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, if he's in a wheelchair just because he's banged up from being on the road and working matches, then he should be out of the business or at least take a long hiatus. Sucks to be him, man. I wonder if it was that moonsault he did off the cage recently.
What, Cody Rhodes?
Kurt did one like a week before.
Curdy Rhodes. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just everything's catching up to him or something, Peyton?
I'm sure it wasn't just the one moonsault he did off of the steel cage. I'm sure it's the years and years of moonsaults and cannonballs and all types of crazy shit that Kurt Angle has been doing to his body, not to mention the abuse of alcohol and painkillers and all the other shit he's been putting in his body. Kurt Angle is not taking very good care of himself.
No. Someone hacked his body. Someone hacked his wheelchair.
Kurt Angle needs to stop wrestling, or at least stop wrestling a full-time schedule and doing things as crazy as he's doing. Come home, Kurt. Please. For the betterment of you, for the betterment of us, for the betterment of wrestling in general, come home. Come home.
I think that would help him out a whole lot, because the way that he's going now, I don't know if this is going to end well.
No.
He's either going to get really injured in the ring and get like paralyzed or something, or he's going to get so banged up that he's going to be even more heavily dependent on prescription medication and everything, and then that's going to ruin him or something. I don't know, but if he goes to WWE, I mean, they're going to try to help him out, and he's going to make more money, and he's going to be able to fucking relax, and the fans will be able to rejoice and stuff. And maybe if he's, fine in a couple years, or maybe even just 1 year, then maybe he comes back and has one match. But
Vince isn't horrible about doing the full-time schedule anymore. He lets people part-time all the time now. So let him come back, rehab, get his fucking neck clean, and give us one more match. I mean, there's plenty of talent on the roster. I'd love to see him wrestle against him and Daniel Bryan. They'd tear the house down. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, and he has nothing more to prove. He's a TNA Hall of Famer now. He just got inducted like this weekend.
Finally. I thought he was inducted once already.
No, remember, because when they tried to induct him, he's like, no, I don't want to be here.
I thought they had a ceremony for it.
No, he went up and he was like, no, I don't deserve to be in here. I don't want to be in your shitty Hall of Fame. And then they had this whole extended storyline, and he finally went in like a week or two ago. Not even here. He went in like fucking England. That's where they had the ceremony of Kurt Angle officially being inducted.
Well, it's the only place in the fucking globe that still gives a fuck about TNA.
Yeah, that was that awkward whole thing where he was like, I can't go in until I'm ready and I've proven myself. And then, like we were saying before, how awkward is it for him to just be like, now I'm ready. Now I'm good. But, I don't know.
I beat Bobby Roode. My career's complete.
God, TNA's so terrible, isn't it? It really is. I'm sorry, TNA fans, but what the hell?
I thought we had an agreement where I wasn't going to talk about them until they went out of business. This is the second week in a row. It feels dirty.
It does. I gotta go take a
shower. We're talking about TNA. We're talking about Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right, guys. Well, if you have any opinions on all the stuff that we talked about, go ahead, send those comments, mark your words, and we're going to take a little bit of a break here with the rest hold, and we're going to come back and give you our top rope list of our favorite Royal Rumble winners.
Got to get my piano ready.
It's time for us to take a little bit of a break here, and instead of a bathroom break, what we do on Smack Talk is what we call the rest hold part of the program. We take a little bit of a breather and knock out some promotional material and scramble around some other quick segments that are on the queue. The first thing to take care of is the Bleacher Report card. For those that are interested in knowing what I've written this week for that website, there are two articles speculating different things about WrestleMania. The first being how Batista's WWE title shot's not really going to do too much to excite the fans. And the second one, alternative matches for Daniel Bryan to have that don't include him being in the WWE title picture. You can find a link to those on the YouTube description down below if you're watching it on YouTube. The Facebook and Twitter accounts, this homepage for Smarkout Moment, and of course just by looking on Bleacher Report itself. The YouTube comment of the week goes to Awesome Piano Man. This music makes me feel better after the CM Punk talk got me thinking. Isn't this relaxing? Ah, gotta love it. So whether you got something funny to say, maybe you've got some insightful commentary, or anything else, keep sending in those comments, everyone, and tell us to smark your words. Remember that next week is going to be the next edition of the monthly mailbag, so if you have any questions that you want to ask us to get to know us better or whatever the case may be, make sure you send those questions in via the Twitter account, or you can send a message on the contact form of the website, which is actually a lot easier for me to control. Fill up our inbox, and we'll make sure that we'll answer all those questions for you. Also keep in mind the Sign Me Up initiative. If you bring a sign that says Smark Out Moment to any kind of wrestling event and send a picture or a video of it to me, I'll feature it on the website and on the next episode of Smack Talk that week. If you're a fan of things like video games and movies and comic books and all that, by now you should know about Fanboys Anonymous, the other website of mine, which is all dedicated to geeky kind of stuff like that. A lot of the Smark Out Moment team is a part of the Fanboys Anonymous team, and we have a whole lot of other people that are awesome as well. So if you want to know what we think about all those other kind of topics, you can check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboysanon. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, just like Smack Talk is. And we're going to be debuting a whole lot of new stuff and rolling out some new segments as soon as we possibly can, including a commentary track thing where you can watch something and listen to our thoughts about it. We might have two episodes of the group meeting this month instead of just the regularly scheduled one episode. One of them that we're toying around with is a State of the DC Film Universe address kind of a thing. All sorts of new stuff going along, so make sure you stay tuned for everything awesome that's coming from Fanboys Anonymous. And last but not least, of course, quick mention out there for everybody who may possibly want to be a contributor to Smark Out Moment. If you're interested in writing for the website, I'm looking for more people that can cover a lot of the different topics that I don't have the time to do, and that ranges from breaking news reports and TV show coverage live along with the shows themselves, and a whole lot of other segments, including opinion-based columns, which is going to be called Smarks or Marks, because I love those smart puns, don't I? So if you or someone else you know might be interested, go ahead, send an application in using that contact form on the website, and I'll get you everything else you need to know in regards to writing for the site. Break time's over with. Let's get back to work and start reviewing our top rope list for Royal Rumble winners. Alright guys, part 4 of episode 117, our main event for this evening's show. We haven't done a top rope list in a while, and we're rolling out the Royal Rumble stuff, ending that stuff, so let's kind of make everything come to a head here. Batista's Royal Rumble wins pissed off a lot of people. We're included into that. Some people are more upset about it than we are, though, and that was getting me thinking about how this is one of those years where it doesn't seem like there's that much positive feedback for the Royal Rumble. But Royal Rumble is pretty awesome, and we've had awesome victories in the past. So why not do a top rope list of our top three favorite Road to WrestleMania, Royal Rumble victory setups that have happened in the past. Basically, what I factored in for my choices here were the build-up to the Royal Rumble, the person who won, because if the person sucks, then that obviously hurts it, how that person won, what happened at WrestleMania with their title shot, and eventually how that all came to play and the repercussions that happen in the future, all the consequences that happen as a result of all that kind of stuff. I actually did five, two of them for number five and number four. You can read on smartoutmoment.com. We're going to focus on the bottom rope, middle rope, and top rope, like we usually do here. And let's just start breaking it down here. We're going to go with bottom ropes first, and then we're going to cycle back around, go middle rope, and then top rope, instead of going all three for each particular person. And Peyton, let's start off with you. What is your bottom rope, your number three favorite?
Well, for my number three, I'm going to go with someone who I think is an absolute unexpected person to see in a Royal Rumble, and even more so, an unexpected person to see win the Royal Rumble, Mr. McMahon. Yes, in 1999, there was no bigger thing going on in wrestling than Austin versus McMahon. Steve Austin already had won two Royal Rumbles in a row, and he seemed like he was dead set to get that third one in a row and get the hat trick. However, Mr. McMahon told him that there was no chance in hell. Actually, that was probably a different year he said no chance in hell. Or was it 99? Do you know? Anybody? I think it was 99. Might have been 99. Either way, those two ended up starting the thing off. The whole lead up to it was absolutely awesome. Vince McMahon training with his son, lifting pieces of wood, chasing chickens. Lots of good fun. I thought the whole thing, while it overshadowed the rest of the Rumble, I still think it was a very fun Rumble to watch, how they battled up into the popcorn vendors and the bathrooms, leaving Austin for dead. Vince McMahon strutting down, going on commentary, eventually Austin reappearing, and those two being the final two in the end to settle it all down. And McMahon being the one to come on top. I thought that was great storytelling. It's a shame they didn't find a way to figure that out working into WrestleMania for McMahon to be in the match. Or maybe it's not. I take that back. Never mind. I'm
what,
done.
What, like a handicap match or something like that?
No, just a regular one-on-one. No, I'm totally... I'm bullshitting. I'm done. Tell me to stop talking, please.
Stop talking, Peyton.
Wago, what's your bottom rope?
That goes for the Royal Rumble 2010. That was Edge when he made his return, being the 29th entry, after coming off an injury and winning the whole thing. I had no idea that he was going to come back, so it was really exciting when it happened. I'm a big Edge mark. He's probably on my top five favorite wrestlers. And getting to see him and Chris Jericho duke it out at Mania. The match was a little underwhelming to my expectations, but it was still a solid match. And the end game of it was Edge turning heel again, pretty much after Mania, with that awesome spear promo.
All right, my bronze medal is going to be something that people are going to go, wait, what? After all that stuff that we've talked about in the past, it's Batista in 2005. One of the things that I really liked about that, now I wasn't watching wrestling at that time, that was right around the time when I started to watch it again. Actually, no, it was not that's the next year, I'm getting ahead of myself. But Batista in 2005, what I really liked about this was the final two people were Cena and Batista, two guys who were really rising the ranks and became those two guys that should be the future of the company. It's very similar to the 1994 Royal Rumble with like Luger and Bret Hart, two top guys. Now, Batista wasn't a babyface like Luger and Hart were. Cena was a babyface by the 2005 Royal Rumble, but you know that's a moot point because he did turn babyface in the end. With two top babyface guys who are popular with the fans and the company really likes, and they're going to be set up for the future. So having those two be the final two is a good final two. And then they do that same kind of thing with 94 where the two guys go over the top rope. It wasn't as good as 94, but, you know, it's still pretty decent. And they had that funny part with Vince McMahon, you know, injuring himself.
I was going to say, that's the only reason you like this.
But they took the idea of this popular guy like Batista, and they put him in the Royal Rumble winner spot. And it made sense not only for being that promotion to the main event, but it also gave somebody like Triple H a worthy opponent for WrestleMania. Because how many people could really fight somebody like Triple H at the top of that whole Evolution thing where you haven't seen it before and it's not just boring and gives you that really good match and gives you something special? And that gave you something special because he turns babyface on his partner, and you end WrestleMania off with what I think pretty much every WrestleMania should end with: a guy who's never won the championship before beating a heel champion and celebrating at the end, where the fans are actually very happy for it. And that's a fantastic way to end it. It's kind of the opposite of what happened this year, where, you know, 10 years goes by and they just want Batista to do it. You've got the popular dude in Daniel Bryan, and instead of going along with it like they did in 2005, they flat out ignored it this year. So that's what's confusing about the two different Batista wins. But that's going to move us on to the silver medal, the middle rope. Peyton, what's your number two?
Number two for me is going to be from the year 2007. I, like you, had just freshly returned off of my hiatus from watching wrestling, and there were no two bigger names to me at that time than the ones who I was big on when I was watching wrestling before going on hiatus: The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And I was just amped so much to see these guys finally cross paths once again, because we hadn't seen it since 1997, a full 10 years before that point. And for them to be the final two in that Royal Rumble and having what was, I think it was like 5 or 6, maybe even 7 minutes to just pretty much have their own little mini match at the end of the Royal Rumble was absolutely freaking amazing. The Undertaker coming out on top and then going on that year to have what was, in my opinion, match of the night with a guy whose name we've heard a couple times throughout this segment here, Batista. And what was also, in my opinion, the beginning of the Undertaker being the guy who has the match of the night at WrestleMania, and where he really started becoming, I don't want to call it Mr. WrestleMania, but sort of becoming the expected guy to go out there and have that show of the night. I guess that's all I have to say about that. It was really cool to see the Undertaker still get that victory that late in his career. He was doing awesome at that time. I mean, people say that Edge pretty much dominated SmackDown at that point. I mean, I disagree. That was Undertaker's show in 2007.
Wego, what's your silver medal?
I just got into, like, my peak of popularity for pro wrestling and how much I was into it was the year 2000. I was a big Rock fan, and Triple H was my favorite wrestler at the time. So whilst you had so many things going on around this time, you had Triple H and Kay was doing his Cactus Jack gimmick at that point, going at it, and you had Big Show that had just won the title at Survivor Series before dropping it again. The Royal Rumble was built around him and The Rock, and they had that awesome finish where, I mean, it was a botch, but it resulted in some really cool storytelling between him and Show at No Way Out, and it basically all these feuds that were going on at once culminated to one match at WrestleMania, and it was a lot of fun. And as much as I would have liked to have just Triple H versus The Rock at the Rocket Mania, it ended up being exactly what I wanted as a Triple H fan.
I'm going to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin from 1998. And this is pretty simple. I mentioned before that my favorite outcome when it comes to the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania build is you have a guy who hasn't won the title yet, and he beats a heel champion at WrestleMania. And, you know, that's like something I'm going to echo from now until the end of time with the Royal Rumble. And this is basically the same kind of a thing. Austin was a rising star, a fresh babyface. He had been positioned for a main event spot, never won a championship. He won the Royal Rumble the year before, but he never got that title shot. So it's almost as if he didn't win it. It might as well have been Undertaker for that matter. Winning made absolute sense for Steve Austin here. Who else was going to be the person to beat Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania? So the Austin era, or the Attitude era, some people say that that's when it officially began. Some people go back to 96, but, you know, that's another argument for another day. Having him win that match was the start of something huge. We had a brand new title that debuted after that. They changed the logo of the company. It had one of the best celebrity partnerships from WWE. not just for WrestleMania, but period, with the whole Mike Tyson thing. And it's just, it's very, like, standard of why this is so good. I think that you can't do this every year. You have to switch it up. But this should be one of those things where they go back to the well very often. And they just go, you know what? Well, we don't have anything too surprising that we can think of right now. Let's just go with that guy who it makes fucking sense. All right. So we're under the gold medal, top rope, the number one favorite Royal Rumble victory of all time. Peyton, what's your choice?
Oh, my God. You know, there's so many great Royal Rumble memories, and especially there's a lot of great unexpected returns that we see at the Rumble. It's almost become a thing that we've become numb to, where nothing surprises us. This year, the worst kept secret, I should say, was the return of Sheamus coming to the Royal Rumble this year. We've seen in the past, 2010, when Edge returned, really didn't think it was that big of a deal. Who else returned this year in the Rumble? Kevin Nash, I guess you could say. I'm talking about, like, actual people. I guess Rey Mysterio sort of returned. We see it all the time. But the one that I think legitimately surprised people, and people had no idea who was going to be here. They did a really good job. Nobody knew. None of the wrestlers knew. None of the people on the announce team knew. They kept the guy secret all the way until he walked through the entrance ramp to go into the ring, and then would go on to win. And, of course, I am talking about in 2008 with John Cena. Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say it. John Cena, a man who I legitimately despised at this point. I was heavy on the John Cena hate train. This was right after he had already beaten Shawn Michaels and Triple H, two of my biggest childhood heroes at WrestleMania, and he has just been shoved down our throats, even worse than he is today. I mean, you guys think it's bad now. You should have seen it back in the 2006 to 2008 time period. It was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It was a crazy experience that night, and for him to have come out, nobody knew he was going to be there. People were holding their hands on their heads. People were going absolutely ballistic inside the garden. Gorilla Monsoon said it many times, but very few times, so I think it's been as true as it was at that moment. The roof came off of the garden that night. Fantastic experience. I was happy to have been there in person. I usually have good luck going to these live events. Also, I just because I go to them at the Madison Square Garden, where you're always expected a magical moment. So John Cena pulling it out. Can't say the same for the 2013 victory. I wasn't as happy about that one, but in 2008, it was a tremendous Royal Rumble victory.
Tough one to disagree with. Wigo, what do you think?
For me, it's 2001 with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I was, again, really into professional wrestling, more so than ever at this point, and the whole match was just so much fun. You had Kane looking like an absolute monster. They built him up to the point where he was convinced he was going to win. You had that brief moment where all the weapons were in the ring. I think Rock got put through an announce table by Big Show on the outside. Wait, that was 2000, never mind. But it was just a really fun match, and Austin got wailed on with a chair and assaulted by Triple H, so he comes running down to the ring afterwards, all bloodied up, and wins the whole thing. And what it led to was WrestleMania 17, which, in my opinion, is the greatest WrestleMania of all time, and the main event did not disappoint. It was so much fun, and it had one of the biggest shocking heel turns ever. And the aftermath was that was Austin's heel run, which I was one of the people that enjoyed it. So it was something different. And pretty much everything that involved from Royal Rumble and the build-up to WrestleMania was just so much fun.
We have six completely different ones here, which is really awesome. My top rope, my number one, Shawn Michaels, 1996. He may not have had the same amount of a reaction as the 1995 one when you look back and it's like, oh, well, that was really special because of the whole one foot on the ground kind of thing. But it was still a pretty damn big deal when Michaels won in 96, because the only other person who had won back-to-back Royal Rumbles was Hulk Hogan. And he won it when it had nothing to do with a title shot at WrestleMania. He just won it because he was fucking Hulk Hogan at the time. That was it. But this was Shawn Michaels being that top guy when it really, really started to matter. And there are, like, a lot of fun things about the 96 Royal Rumble where it's not necessarily the best Royal Rumble period, but some cool things are surrounding it. Like, for instance, who did Shawn Michaels end up facing when he won 1995 Royal Rumble? At WrestleMania, he fought Diesel, and Diesel beat him. Who's the last person that he eliminates in the 1996 one? Diesel. So it's kind of like he overcame that hurdle, which is one of the reasons why he's able to go on and beat Bret Hart at WrestleMania, which, of course, one of the best matches of all time, I think, in the Iron Man match. There's that same thing that I've mentioned multiple times already about that person who wins and they're a babyface who beats a champion at WrestleMania for their first title ever. Bret Hart wasn't a heel, but he was kind of playing a heel in the match a little bit. So the boyhood dream comes true, that whole thing. And there's just something about the 1996 Royal Rumble that it's a huge nostalgia thing for me. One of the things that, like, always sticks in my memory about the 96 Royal Rumble was I could not for the life of me at the time when I was little find a tape of it. This is going back to tapes. We didn't have DVDs then. I had maybe two places in my area that I could rent a tape from. You know, like Blockbuster wasn't around all the time. Netflix hadn't come out yet. None of that stuff. So the two or three options or whatever that I had, there was just this one tape that was circulating of the Royal Rumble where somebody had recorded over it. So all I got to see for years was the beginning of Hunter Hearst Helmsley's introduction. And that was it. And it just became this, like, forbidden fruit of, like, when the fuck can I watch this?
Triple H buried the rest of the tape because he didn't win.
Right. Like, it would come out, he would come out and it would be, you know, by the time he gets into the ring and then static. And it drove me nuts, especially because Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and The Undertaker were always my three favorites of all time. So I wanted to see how this happened. And, you know, you could see some different kind of like recap stuff at WrestleMania. And you could see different tapes of like the best of Shawn Michaels where they would show different parts of that. But they never showed the Royal Rumble. So it took years until I got a chance to actually watch the Royal Rumble back when you can actually just search on YouTube for it. And that nostalgia thing comes flooding back to me every single time that I watch it. There's something just fun about Michaels going in with the storyline that he had the concussion and they were doubting whether or not he could participate in the Royal Rumble and Vader making his debut and all that. So that was kind of fun. And it's fun to watch back as, you know, as an adult now and just go like, oh man, if I was a kid watching this, this would have been even cooler. So a lot of nostalgia stuff gets in the way, but Shawn Michaels, 1996, that's who I'm going with. It may not be the best Royal Rumble of all time, but there's a lot of positives for it, and why not give it the gold medal, if not just for the nostalgia factor? So if you guys want to give us your list, go ahead and either leave a comment on the YouTube video, or you can go to smartcountmoment.com for the top rope list and leave a comment there. Let us know what you think about our choices. Give us your choices for your top 3, your top 5, top 20, whatever it happens to be. We're not going to censor you at all. And that should do us in. Pretty short episode this week, but we're going to round this out with some plugs. And Wago, it's up to you.
February 23rd, check out Addicted to Anime as we cover and review Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, including the movie Conqueror of Shambhala. Check out the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/addictedanimefans, and check out the Twitter, which is @addictstoanime. Also, check out Unanimous Decision MMA, UDMMA, and you'll find everything. Facebook.com/UDMMA, @UDMMA for Twitter, and UDMMA.com.
You're getting like to the point where you're being like sing-songy with UDMMA. Have you noticed that?
Nope.
It's getting more so like UDMMA, UDMMA, UDMMA.
When you get saying, when you have said UDMMA so many times, you kind of have to do something with it, or you just get monotone with it. UDMMA.
Peyton?
Well, stay tuned for Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. UDMMA. UDMMA.
Man, that Beethoven, he really messes things up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard he did McGill's plugs.
Check out my
We're all very tired today, you can tell.
No, I was just doing my best, Miguel. No, seriously, check out Mega Powers Radio, megapowersradio.com, facebook.com/megapowersradio, youtube.com/megapowersradio. Specifically, join us every single Monday evening following the conclusion of Monday Night Raw, where all of us here gather together. Few other personalities join us as well, and we invite y'all to call in for the NPR Raw post show, where we talk about every single thing that happened on Raw and whatever the heck else is on our minds that evening. It's a live show, so you never know what the heck is going to go down. Maybe Bill Clinton will call in, maybe JD will call in and say, however, anything can happen.
Rootin' tootin', Mike Baden might make a special appearance. Yeah. Maybe the intro song will be done by Beethoven.
Maybe we'll talk about Naoma.
All right, guys, next week our main event, we're actually going to have two main events. We're going to have the monthly mailbag, so send in those questions if you have anything that you want to know about us. And we're also going to be debuting a brand new segment, Call the Spot, which is kind of like a marry, fuck, kill. But we're going to be doing two editions of that. The winners of the spots for the Elimination Chamber and the five people that lost a chance to get into the Elimination Chamber. What we're going to do is we're going to break them down. Who should be, if we had to pick one person for each spot, who should be a main eventer, an upper mid-carder, jobber, and who should get fired? So that'll be really interesting. And we're going to have, obviously, the normal hot tags, and we're going to bring you everything else that we normally do next week. For this episode, and for Mike Payton, and for Stephen Wago, I'm Tony Mango. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out.
This is an outro, dun, 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 and it is awful, dun, 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 dun. Suck. Dick, and I can't do this for shit.
They're gonna want your back.